Well, we've come time for the message this evening. And the title of this evening's message is, You Can Be Rich. Let's pray. Father, we realize that we're going to come to your word and we're going to consider Jesus who was born. We pray that you might give us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I find it interesting that Jesus taught more about money than any other subject. And he wasn't trying to ratchet up the income. As far as we know, he never ever asked for an offering. The reason he taught extensively on the subject of money is that nothing else clogs our spiritual arteries as fast as money. Nothing damages us so much as money, either working to have a lot of it or wishing that we had lots of it. Think of the man who brazenly asked Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 13, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Amazing. He had an opportunity to go deep with Jesus Christ, but instead he wanted deep pockets. The Lord Jesus responded with a stunning statement, contrary to all popular opinion then, and contrary to all popular opinion now. We read in verse 15 of the same chapter, Jesus saying, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. It's not the stuff that you have. It's not the stuff that makes you rich. But tell that to Harvey Norman chief Jerry Harvey, who says consumer confidence has been knocked by the late interest rise. And that does not bode well with the peak Christmas trading season. Pretty much every retailer has noticed it, he said. We certainly have been affected with practically every category we sell. The November sales figures are nowhere near where I hoped they would be. There is a big consumer lack of confidence, he said, and the rate rise negated the usual pre-Christmas trend. The world talks so much about money that Jesus Christ had to talk about money for our sakes. And one thing Jesus said was, the things that you have do not make you rich. Really? What does then? Well, we need to know what really makes rich, because if we don't know, we're going to miss it for sure. Now, all this is relevant to Jesus' birth, because Paul in the book of Corinthians is waxing eloquent on giving, and right in this middle of the subject of giving, he talks in one verse about the birth of Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 8:9. It's at the top of your sheet if you want to follow. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. In that verse, there are two extraordinary opposites. Poverty, or we should say poverty down here, and riches. There are two extraordinary opposites that summarize the virgin birth, what it was about, and what it means for you and me. Let's hear it again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. The first opposite that summarizes what his birth is about is from riches to poverty, the story of Jesus Christ. Let's merely read the first part of the verse this time. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Consider how rich the Lord Jesus Christ was. That's right, God the Son existed and was rich before Jesus was born. What do I mean? I mean that God is eternal. He has always existed. He will always exist. God the Son existed before the birth of Jesus. This eternal nature of Jesus Christ was predicted 600 years before he was born in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 7 and verse 14 says, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The babe born of the virgin would be God, and therefore would have all the characteristics of God, including being eternal. Again, Isaiah adds, and this was sung tonight, Isaiah 9:6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This child to be born, this son to be given, would be everlasting, eternal. Now, God is spirit. That means he doesn't have a physical body like we do. And so God the Son had no body until the birth of Jesus Christ. Then the eternal Son became man. John chapter 1 and verse 14 explains, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, I've mentioned all this to say that indeed Jesus was God in the flesh, and as God had existed before the birth of Jesus, so then, before the birth, God the Son had all the riches of God in his hand. He had it all. He owned and owns everything. He possessed and possesses everything, all power, all authority, all sovereignty, all glory, honor and majesty. Everything that exists in this world, in this universe, was created by his hand. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Every material thing, every spiritual thing belonged to the Lord Jesus. All things visible and invisible, all angels and principalities and powers were his. Nothing in existence was outside of his possession. He possessed all things. He was totally and completely rich, perfectly rich. All was his, but yet for your sakes, he became poor. He who was fabulously rich beyond all human understanding, at the virgin birth became poor. Both the spiritual riches and the physical riches that he possessed there in heaven, he left behind when he became a man. Both the scriptures and the carols that we've been singing tonight proclaim this astounding fact. In the carol, "What Child Is This?" are the words, "Why lies he in such mean estate," referring to his poverty, "where ox and ass are feeding? They were poor, miserly conditions." The children's carol, "Away in a Manger," says, "He had no crib for a bed." And later in life, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The only possessions that the Lord Jesus Christ ever had were his own clothes, and at the cross they gambled for those. In the carol, "While Shepherds Watched," we sing, "The heavenly babe you there shall find, to human view displayed, all meanly wrapped in swathing bands and in a manger laid." Wrapped in strips of cloth, that was the normal thing to do at that time. We see different trends, don't we, in regard to babies. But laid in an animal feeding trough, there was no poorer beginning. And we see the enormous contrast between the perfect riches of Jesus in heaven and the abject poverty of his beginning with the words, "Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity." The scripture explains fully in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." All his spiritual riches were not grasped. He relaxed them into the Father's hand. He came not as a king, which was his right, but as a servant, with all the poverty that that term suggests. If he had not given up enough, he also gave of his life, and then he had nothing. One pastor wrote, "Though he existed eternally in the form of God, possessing all the riches of deity, Jesus emptied himself, becoming poor, by taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. He suffered human weakness and limitations, became hungry, thirsty, and tired. In addition, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So completely did Jesus identify with people as their faithful high priest that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 summarizes the whole thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. That verse says that the step from ultimate riches to absolute poverty was by grace. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means it was a gift to us. It was an undeserved gift to us. He could not have given more. It cost him everything. So no wonder they talk about giving in memory of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ gave like no one else ever gave. And it wasn't money. The story is told of a Persian monarch who reigned in opulence and splendor, living with every wealth and comfort that could be imagined. Yet his concern for the common people frequently drove him to dress as a poor man and go and visit them, leave the palace and mingle with the lowliest of subjects. One day he visited a fireman, a man who stoked the fires to warm the water for the bathhouse. Dressed in tattered clothes, the Shah descended the stairs right down to the basement where the fire was, where the fireman sat in a pile of ashes tending the fire. The ruler sat beside him, and the two men began to talk, and they started to become friends. At lunchtime, the fireman shared his humble meal of coarse bread and water with the Shah. Eventually, the Shah left, but he returned again and again, his heart filled with love for this lonely fireman. The fireman, in turn, opened his heart to this kind and caring man who gave him wise counsel. Finally, the Shah could not bear it any longer, and he decided that he needed to give up the pretense and reveal his true identity to his friend. He then asked the poor fireman to name a gift that he could give him. To the Shah's surprise, the man said nothing, but just sat looking in stunned, amazed silence. Thinking he had not understood him, the Shah offered to make him rich, make him the ruler of a city, or elevate him to nobility. But he replied, "Yes, my lord, I understood you. But leaving your palace to sit here with me, eat my humble food and listen to the troubles of my heart, even you could give me no more precious gift than that. You have given rich gifts to others, but to me you gave yourself. I ask only that you never withdraw your friendship from me." That is but a poor picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. He didn't just visit us, he lived amongst us. He didn't just look like a servant, he became a servant even to the point of death. And it is this miracle that we remember so tenderly and so gratefully tonight. He who has Jesus Christ as his friend has a real friend and could ask for nothing more than his presence. If you have him, you have it all. So that Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Why would I want more if I had Jesus Christ? The second opposite, which explains what the virgin birth means to us, is from poverty to riches, the story of the Christian. Summary of the virgin birth, as we've been looking at, is from riches to poverty. The summary of what this means to us is from poverty to riches. Listen to the whole verse. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." rich. What? Why did Jesus do it? Why did Jesus come? That you and I might become rich. Did you realize that you are poor? Yes, Jesus left physical and spiritual riches behind, but primarily this verse is speaking spiritually. Whatever your bank balance, did you realize you are poor? Some people, because they think they are rich, perhaps like Jerry Norman, I don't know, they miss out on the true riches. To receive the true riches first, we must realize that we are indeed poor. Jesus Christ, now risen and exalted with all honor and riches, he counsels his people. He counsels us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. When people have money, as most Australians do, they are comfortable and don't see their need. People like us with money don't see the need for the true riches. Jesus Christ says to us, know that you are spiritually poor. Recognize there are riches that you do not have. See that you have great need. You see, those who see their need will go to Jesus Christ, who has the true riches. That is why he came. That's the meaning of his birth for us. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Those who see their need will go and buy that gold from Jesus Christ. Indeed, we are spiritually impoverished. Take your abject poverty on board and agree with Paul in Romans 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Nothing good. Nothing in and of myself. If we had a cent for every spiritual resource, we would be destitute. Too poor to say so. Nothing to offer you, Lord. You then can seek the true riches. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Those verse says that your faith is even more valuable than gold. And Ephesians 2 and verse 8 explains faith a little bit further. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Spiritual riches are a gift. They are received through faith. If we will admit our poverty as sinners, God will give us, listen, God will give us everything he has. The Lord Jesus, in the most famous sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, said, blessed are the poor in spirit. We realize our poverty. Listen, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Everything that belongs to God, he will share with us. We simply recognize Jesus Christ as God in the flesh. Thank God that he came and died on the cross for us and determined to live for him always. Of the riches we can then enjoy as Christians, Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption, adopted in the family of families, the family of God, as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. He has made us accepted. Though we are sinners, we've been made accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have become so rich just because Christ's gift meets us at our point of need. Now you think of gifts that you've been given over the years. And perhaps one or two stands out as being very special. Those gifts were special to you because they met you at your point of need. Stella's husband, Dave, had died 6 months before, and now it was Christmas. Suddenly she grabbed the handle of the refrigerator and leaned her head against the cold white surface of the door as a wave of self-pity threatened to drown her. It was too much to bear losing her precious Dave. How was she to endure the pain, the daily nothingness? She felt the familiar ache in her throat, and she squeezed tight her eyes to stop the tears from coming. "Ah, Dave, I miss you. I never minded storms when you were here." The sound of her voice echoed hollowly in the room. Stella had been prepared for her husband's death. Since the doctor's pronouncement of terminal, both had faced the inevitable and tried to make the best of every moment they had together. There were no new burdens to her in her widowed state. It was just the awful aloneness, the loss of purpose for each day. They had been a childless couple. It was their choice. They had many friends. Had. That was the operative word. The age that Stella was when human bodies began giving up, well, all her friends were dying. And now on this Christmas without Dave, Stella would be on her own. Christmas Day was less than a week away, but she did not have the heart to set up the stable that Dave had made with his own hands. Suddenly, engulfed by the loneliness of it all, Stella buried her lined face in her hands. The ring of the doorbell was so unexpected that Stella had to stifle a small scream of surprise. Now, who could possibly be calling her on a stormy day like this? At a front door, buffeted by the waves of wind and rain, stood a strange young man whose head was barely visible above a large cardboard box that he was carrying in his hands. She peered beyond him to the driveway, to the small car that was parked there, but that gave no clue to her as to who he was. "Mrs. Thornhope, I have a package for you," he said. He entered bringing with him the breath of the storm. Smiling, he placed his burden carefully on the floor and stood to get an envelope that was in his pocket to hand to the lady. As he handed it to her, a sound came from the box. She advanced, looking down into the box to see what was there. It was a dog. To be exact, a golden Labrador. A puppy. As the gentleman lifted his squirming body into his arms, he explained, "This is for you. It's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken." The young pup wiggled in happiness, sending wet kisses her way. "We're supposed to deliver him on Christmas Eve," he said, "but the staff at the kennels go on holidays tomorrow. I hope you don't mind an early Christmas gift." She stammered, "But I mean who?" "There's a letter, that letter there explains everything," he said. "The dog was bought last July while her mother was still pregnant. It was meant as a Christmas gift. If you'll just wait for a moment, there's a few things in the car that I'll get for you." When he came back, desperation forced words from her lips. "But who? Who gave the gift?" "Your husband, Mrs. Thornhope." And then he was gone. It was all in the letter. She forced tear-filled eyes to read her husband's words. He had written it 3 weeks before his death and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered along with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement. He had sent this animal to keep her company. Remembering the little creature for the first time, she was surprised to see him quietly looking up at her. Stella put the pages aside and reached for the bundle of fur, and the tears began anew. Finally, Stella lowered him to her lap. "Well, little fella, I guess it's you and me." Clearly the gift meant so much to Stella. There were tears of joy and there was now new hope because the gift met her at her point of need. That's why Jesus Christ's birth means so much to us. He meets us at our point of need. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." That you through his poverty might become rich. You can be rich. Simply give your life to Jesus Christ, knowing that he died for you, allowing him to take total control of your life. He died for your sin. And then you'll have riches indeed. I want to give you the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. So I'm going to lead in a prayer in a minute. You can say the words after me quietly to yourself where you sit. There's absolutely no obligation. This is a transaction between you and God. If you truly want to trust Christ who died for you, then you can do it right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he not only came as a babe, but he grew as a man. And then he went to the cross. Thank you, Lord, so much that he died for me. Lord, I recognize that I deserve to die. For I recognize that I am a sinner. I want to accept Jesus' death in my place. I want to give him my life. And I want to follow him always. Thank you for making me part of your family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you needed time to think about that decision tonight, there is time.